Well, hey, thoughtful leader, welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. On this show, I interview purpose-driven founders, experts, and change makers who are making a real impact in the world. Want to be a guest? Simple. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click podcast. I'd love to promote your story to our audience of over 100,000 and across over 2,300 daily episodes and counting. Want to get booked on other great shows like this? Simple. Go to podverified.com and get your free guest authority score. Thousands of hosts are looking for high-quality guests, and PodVerified connects you the right way. Now, let's dive into today's episode. With us right now, it is Todd Hagopian. Todd, you are you're the executive director of the Stagnation Intelligence Agency. I like that. Your book is called The Unfair Advantage, Weaponizing the Hypomanic Toolbox. Can't wait to get into that. Your website is toddhagopian.com. Todd, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Josh. I've been looking forward to this one.
Me too. Todd, before we get going and talking about what a hypomanic is and how one could use that to their advantage, you and I were talking just briefly before we got started, and I understand that you and I both love horror. Tell me what you've give me some good scary movie recommendations.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to, of course, blank on all the names. But what I can tell you is we basically watched everything on Amazon and everything on Netflix. And we've gotten into Shudder now, which has a lot of these independent videos that maybe you haven't seen. You know what I mean? And that's why I can't remember the names. But what we've gotten really into is these, what do they call those, where it's where you're filming yourself, like, you know, the
VR.
Yeah, you know, where you're filming yourself and like and he's filming a video, like he's going out and doing it.
Kind of got it. Kind of like Blair Witch.
Yes, exactly like that. We've gotten into those. Yep. And we've been doing those. And there's so many out there and they're low budget, but they're good enough. You know what I mean? And they're just it's a lot of fun to see these kind of young filmmakers do some cool things, you know, and then see the bigger filmmakers kind of grab it and turn it into a bigger movie, you know. Yeah. But we really enjoy those types of horror films.
Well, I learned recently that you're around Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
I learned recently that Ohio has more haunted houses per capita than any other state in the United States. In October or Halloween season, did you go through some houses this year?
Yeah, we actually are going to. We have one special needs child who's a little too young right now, but our older boy is really interested in it. So it's on our bucket list for next year and the year after to do a bunch of them.
We moved down to Orlando, Florida, from Michigan about 17 years ago.
Okay.
And Universal Studios, as you know, has Halloween Horror Nights. I don't know if you've ever been down to that, but it's just completely on. It's a whole different level. I saw that the average house costs about $1.5 million to produce, and you absolutely see it. It's remarkable. My wife and I will always get kind of the either the passes to kind of so we can go through the houses multiple times. It's just amazing how many details they put in that. We can talk about haunted houses and scary movies for the rest of the time, but I definitely, Todd, I need to learn what your book is, The Unfair Advantage.
Sure.
Weaponizing the hypomanic toolbox. Okay, you got my curiosity.
All right, so hypomanic toolbox. I went 15 years undiagnosed bipolar, and I was moving up in business real fast. There's two parts of bipolar. There's the hypomania, which we'll talk about, which is high energy, big goal oriented, you know, high focus, no sleep, just really, really focused work. And then there's the bipolar depression, right? That's the part that's bad, that causes the suicidal ideation and things like that. And so I went through this for 15 years undiagnosed, flying up the corporate ladder, right? But every time something good happened, something bad would happen. And it looked like one of those self-sabotage situations, you know what I mean? Like I just couldn't get out of my own way. That's kind of what it looked like from the outside. But still, I was moving up. And finally, it got so bad where I was sleeping less than 2 hours a night for years. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I was drunk. You can get drunk at 20 and go to work the next day. Once you're 35, it starts getting harder. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of problems that were happening. And I finally went in and they were like, yeah, you are like really bipolar. Like, and I had no idea. Like, I just didn't know. I thought it was just work hard, play hard, you know, and my mind was a little messed up and I just didn't have good judgment and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Which was weird because I always had good judgment in business. Just my personal life was a disaster, you know? And so I finally got diagnosed. I went 8 years where I didn't tell anybody. I just got on the medicine. But what happened was when I got on the medicine, the hypomania just went to zero and I completely changed. And I was like, crap, I am the global marketing director of a big company. Like, I can't just suddenly not have all my things, you know? And so I had to basically decide whether I wanted to be sane or successful. And I was like, that can't be, that's not fair. So what I did is I started bottling it up and systematizing it so that I could mimic the manic behavior in a way that I could then do it while I was healthy. And so I started coming up with different tools, and I turned around one business with a couple of tools, turned around another business with a couple of tools. The third business I got to, the 13th month, I realized I hadn't done that thing from the first one. You know what I mean? And I was like, I need to write these things down. And so then I wrote down the toolbox and I took it to the fourth business I turned around. And so these were like big turnarounds, you know, $50 million companies, $100 million companies. And it worked great. And I was like, you know what? I think I can teach people this. And I think it's time to tell people what's going on, show that neurodiversity has some advantages in the workplace. But more importantly, like I can take this toolbox and I can teach it to somebody who's neurotypical that doesn't have anything wrong with their brain. And they can take this and get ahead. Because if we all read the same 20 books, we're all going to do the same 20 things. You're only going to get breakthrough results with differentiated thinking. And that's how it all came about.
When you were experiencing kind of the low side of the hypomania, can you describe like is and just so I understand, is it that something happened and then your reaction may have been disproportional? Like it was like too like let's say like a major sale got lost or you know something bad happened in business, and then would that just kind of like knock you out and
Unfortunately, no, it was just out of nowhere you'd hit the low. So actually it ended up usually happening after something really good happened. And I don't know if that was because I was manic, you know, and working so hard and then something good finally happened and I relaxed for a minute and the body let go or whatever. But that's usually when it would happen. And
Oh, so when you got at the end of a really big push,
And
oh my
I don't know if that
gosh,
was just
this is
like
crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was just kind of like, you know, what happened or if there's some medical thing around that, but that's how it usually hit me.
That is, I am so grateful that you and I have connected. I don't know that I'd be fully diagnosed, but I think many leaders, you know, it's like, you know, it's like it's almost like you're white knuckling, you're push, 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 drive, 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 right? And when I'm in that moment, it's like I've got my superhero cape on, you know, I cannot be stopped. Like I'm just so laser focused on it. And then when the work is done, wow.
Yeah, and
That's
hypomania, I mean, it's a leaders have this ability, you know, good leaders that you've heard of, billionaires and whatnot. A lot of them have these tendencies, whether or not they're bipolar. There's also something right below bipolar that has hypomanic tendencies, you know, that a lot of people exhibit. And so it's a true blue, like this does help you in business. So the question is can you bottle it up into some systems and automate it
Yes.
so that you can do it healthy, you know, and not overwork yourself and you know, not have to be bipolar to do
No, I don't want to be bipolar in order to do this. So, Todd, give us some of the
it.
secrets on how you can bottle up some of that hypomania without, again, kind of that crash and burn, you know, hangover. You know,
So
really is.
I'll rattle through like four of them and any of them you want to get into, we can. But I always say, okay, so over or under promising and over delivering is for losers. The first thing is grandiose goal setting. Like you need to, if you're this type of leader, because this only works for people who are going to be, you know, accelerant leaders. You need big goals. So if you say 6%, you end up at 9%, and I say 25%, and I end up at 19%, I'm getting the promotion. You know what I mean? Even though I missed the 25% by six, I know because I promoted a bunch of people in that way. So grandiose goal setting, not only you setting the goals, you need to believe it and you need to get your team to believe it, right? So that's a big part of hypomanic leadership is grandiose goal setting, not being afraid to do that. Then 80-20 matrix profitability is you have to treat different customers and products differently, right? So we do a big matrix. I could go into it for a whole hour, but essentially your A customers and your A products and that combination, those product combinations, 20% of those is going to drive 80% of your profitability. We all know that. You know, the what we do is 80-20 squared, and it's really 4% of your customer product combinations are going to drive about 64% of your success. And then there's going to be this huge area down in the bottom right where it's your bad customer or your small customers and your small products that are just driving incredible complexity into the business. We call it the complexity tax. And you have to start outsourcing, killing, or raising prices by 40% in that range. And when you do that, you can then invest all of your time back into the A products and A customers. So that's the 80-20 matrix of profitability. The Corellian method ties to that. So the Corellian method for explosive productivity is activity times efficiency equals. Sorry, activity times efficiency times focus equals results. Everyone knows the activity and efficiency, right? If I work more hours and I'm more efficient, I'm going to get more results, right? We all know that 20% more hours, 20% more efficient, all of a sudden you're 44% more productive. If you put the focus part in here, it's key. So if I then, so I always tell people this story. I have 18,000 unread emails. So I'm either the laziest person at the company, or I am the most productive person at the company because I don't even read it. I don't even read it if it's not in my 4%. And everyone knows that. They'll send me like the, you know, here, just letting you know what's going on emails. But they know if it's not in the 4%, I'm not taking action on it. And so my whole calendar is built around the 4% that drive the 64% because your calendar doesn't lie. So if you've got 40 hours a week and you got 100 things to do and you're going to spend a half hour on each of them, you know what I mean? Like you're not going to be driving as much profit as me, where I'm spending 40 hours a week on the four things that are going to make the biggest difference. And so I outsource the rest, I automate the rest, I AI the rest, you know, I systematize the rest, but I have nothing. I'm not spending any money, any time on things that aren't in that 4%. And so it's all about making as much money as you can every minute of the day. So that's the
And that
Corellian
is
method.
certainly what you're describing there. It is absolutely, I would say, a personality trait of someone. Because I don't, I'm, you know, probably too much disclosure here, but man, I'm really identifying. I'm still, my brain is going crazy because I, you know, if I'm, and I think a lot of leaders are like that. You know, when they've got something, they and they are just, they've got a vision. They want to get it done. They want to get it to market as quickly as possible. I mean, hell hath no fury like Josh, you know, when he's got that kind of
100%.
task to get done. And so, but you're right. Like nothing else gets through it during that time. So like, I appreciate that. That's a later thing.
And if you're
Wow.
not like that,
And I'm just reckon, I guess not, you know, not everybody has that superpower, but you can learn this
that's
superpower.
exactly right. If you're not like that, you can structure your calendar like that, and then you will be, right? Your calendar will drive what you're doing. So if you know that these are the 4% and you structure your calendar around that, you will make more money per minute. And you can get 500 to 600% more productive if you follow this formula. It's pretty incredible and it works like a charm. It's probably the best tool in the toolbox. And all it is making sure every meeting you're making as much money as possible. Cut down the meeting invites, cut down the time, cut down the attendees. Like everybody in there better be making money in the meeting. You know, yeah. So, like, last one I would kind of highlight is just
Please.
the orthodoxy smashing innovation is just a really key part of bipolar is kind of thinking outside the box and going down rabbit holes and this and that. So orthodoxy smashing is where everyone believes something to be true in an industry, and you systematically go through all these orthodoxies and say, what if it wasn't? What if that was not true? What would we do differently? And you kind of run down that rabbit hole. And it could be, you know, I always say process innovation makes you way more money than product innovation. So things like lead time, things like I'm going to do this a little differently and suddenly the cost will come out, you know, or I can take out $10 and put $5 more of cost back into this feature. So now I can have a better product at a lower price. You know what I mean? Sniper SKUs where you say, okay, my competitor is doing this and he's offering three different things. If we just offer one right here, it's way better and we'll have a better profit margin. Like there's a sniper SKU strategy in here. But essentially, It's smashing orthodoxies and being willing to take risks inside of an industry. And this is the best way to make money in a boring business, is to change something that's been the same for 50 years. That is how everybody makes money. If you think of all these revolutionary business models, that's exactly what they did, is took a boring business and said, what if instead of cabs, we had normal people drive, and Uber started? What if instead of going to a restaurant, we made it so that you could deliver, and all this stuff. And all these things have completely changed 50-year-old, 100-year-old, 200-year-old industries.
Amazing. Todd, for those who are listening to us and maybe like myself, understand, again, all of the amazing things that we can create because of this superpower. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a kryptonite to it. Mm-hmm. What did you find? I mean, obviously, aside from talking with a doctor and, if it's appropriate, making sure that you're getting the right treatment plan clinically, or, getting the right medicine lift from that. But what do you do for self-care? Because again, you can completely burn out.
I mean, I was working 22 hours a day for 15 years, And so, I am on medicine. I always tell people it's your call. You can take it. I don't advocate one way or the other, but the medicine helps me. And then sleep is the biggest thing. So obviously I quit alcohol. That was a huge part for me. It's not for everybody, but I quit for me. And that allowed me to sleep more, which was important. And so the sleep is really the key for me. If I get even 4 or 5 hours, I am 100% better than I was, when I got two. And I don't hit that wall. Now I can go all 12 months, at 5 hours of sleep, I can go all 12 months without having any of the fall off. So.
Oh, my goodness. Todd Hagopian, this has been such a great conversation. I'm so grateful that we bumped into each other. Your website is toddhagopian.com. Your book is called The Unfair Advantage, Weaponizing the Hypomanic Toolbox. So you can learn the secret superpowers that some of us are blessed with. but Todd, to our friend that's listening, what would you recommend next steps? And I'm so sorry. Like, obviously, you've written the book. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your other work and what you do professionally? And then just kind of go ahead and cap it up with how people engage with you as well.
Yeah, sure. So I currently work for a large food equipment company, and we manufacture a couple $1 million machines, that basically bottle all your sodas. So that's what I do professionally right now. And I've got a 3-book deal. So there's 2 more books coming out, and really working on the website. And essentially the best way to get a hold of me and ask questions is, I don't sell anything other than the book. And occasionally speaking, but no consulting. So I got a ton of free information on the website. I love talking about this stuff. Send me a question, ask me to make a video. I love this stuff. So just, if you have questions on this, go and look at my website. There's a bunch of information out there. Hit me up in the contact me, let's have a discussion. I love jumping on the phone with people. I learned so much from talking to other business folks. And the way I look at it is, you're always in the best position to help the person that you once were. And so I've been a P&L leader now for 10 years. If you're a P&L leader, or somebody who's about to be a P&L leader, or somebody who even runs a division inside of a P&L, I want to talk to you. I want to help, and I want to learn. So that's where I'm coming from.
Todd Hagopian, again, the book is The Unfair Advantage, Weaponizing the Hypomanic Toolbox. Your website is toddhagopian.com. Thanks, Todd.
Yep, thank you.
If you've enjoyed this conversation, I'd love to invite you to share your message with the world at podverified.com, where thousands of podcast hosts and thoughtful guests are connecting the right way. PodVerified helps match you with the right stages for your level of authority. No more wasting time on brand new shows that just aren't a fit. Your guest authority score is free, and so are your first 2 podcast matches. Come hang out with me there. I'd love to learn more about your business, support your mission, and help promote you far and wide. Just head to www.podverified.com to get started. And of course, if you'd like to be a guest right here on The Thoughtful Entrepreneur, just go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. Thanks for being a part of this movement. We rise by lifting others.